Hey, I'm Chris.
What's up? I'm Mars.
And you're listening to Surgery Shelf Prep. All right, team, buckle up, because today we're talking about thoracic trauma. This is straight-up critical care, where recognizing and acting fast can be a game-changer for your patient. For this episode, we're focusing on three major players: flail chest, pulmonary contusion, and cardiac tympanon.
That's right, Chris. And remember, when you're looking at any trauma vignette, you've got to connect every single detail back to the airway, breathing, and circulation, ABCs. If that patient is decompensating, you're going for that immediate intervention first.
Let's kick things off with flail chest. So, Mars, what's the classic presentation we're looking for here? Give us the lowdown.
Straight up, for flail chest, you're going to see a patient with three or more consecutive ribs fractured in two or more places. The hallmark sign? Paradoxical motion of a segment of the chest wall. It literally sinks inward when the patient inhales and bulges out when they exhale. It's wild to see, and it causes severe pain and hypoxia.
Gotcha. And when we talk pathophysiology, what's actually causing the major respiratory distress in these patients? Because it's not just the ribs, right?
For real, while the chest wall dissociation itself is a problem, the main culprit for respiratory failure is often the underlying pulmonary contusion. That's where the real damage is happening, creating shunt physiology because of alveolar hemorrhage and edema.
So how do we diagnose this? Do we just send them for a chest x-ray right away?
Well, the visual exam for paradoxical motion is key. It's a clinical observation. You can also confirm with a chest CT scan, but you're going to observe that paradoxical motion clinically. Now, for treatment, we're talking aggressive analgesia. Think epidural or nerve blocks, plus oxygen and incentive spirometry. Many of these patients might even need intubation with PEEP. PEEP, for those who don't know, is where we maintain positive pressure at the end of a breath to keep the alveoli open. But watch out, too much PEEP can cause barotrauma like a pneumothorax. Surgical plating can be an option for these patients to help with the pain and mechanics of breathing.
And a classic pitfall for the shelf, Mars?
The biggest pitfall is treating the ribs with pain control initially, but forgetting the underlying pulmonary contusion and the need for judicious fluid restriction to prevent ARDS. That's a trap. Don't fall for it.
Perfect. That actually leads us perfectly into our next big hitter, pulmonary contusion. Mars, how does this one usually present, and what's the typical timeline?
Pulmonary contusion typically shows up 6 to 24 hours after a blunt impact, and the patient will experience increasing hypoxia. On a chest x-ray, you'll see patchy infiltrates, and here's a tip, they cross the fissures. Pathophysiology-wise, it's all about alveolar hemorrhage and edema, leading to shunt physiology. These lesions can actually blossom or worsen over the first day. Classic shelf presentations is a child who experiences blunt chest trauma because they can develop pulmonary contusions in the absence of rib fractures because their bones bend more because they are made of more cartilage and not ossified bone.
So what's the best way to catch this on imaging, and what's a common trap with the initial imaging?
CT scan is more sensitive for pulmonary contusion than a regular x-ray. But here's the trap. The initial chest x-ray can be normal. So if you discharge that patient prematurely, they might just bounce back in full-blown respiratory failure. Treatment is mostly supportive. Oxygen, high-flow nasal cannula, IV analgesia. And remember that pitfall from flail chest? Judicious fluids. We're talking avoiding excessive crystalloids to prevent worsening edema. All right, Chris, let's pivot to one of the most emergent thoracic injuries, cardiac tamponade. This one is serious business. How do these patients present? What are we looking for?
This is where the Beck's triad comes into play, classic for the boards: hypotension, distended neck veins, and muffled heart sounds. You might also see pulsus paradoxus. So this is a drop in systolic blood pressure with inspiration, and a narrow pulse pressure. This is where the diastolic pressure rises and the systolic pressure decreases, closing that difference between the two. It's more commonly seen with penetrating trauma, where as little as 60 to 100 milliliters of blood in the pericardium can block the right ventricle from filling. This leads to obstructive shock because the vena cava collapses and your patient loses their preload.
So is imaging the first step here, or is it a clinical diagnosis? What about distinguishing it from a tendon pneumo?
This is absolutely a clinical diagnosis. You do not wait for a chest x-ray. You're acting first. For imaging, a fast exam can show pericardial fluid and right-sided collapse of the heart, and an EKG might show electrical alternance. This is where the QRS amplitude on the EKG has a beat-to-beat variation because the heart is swinging around in a pool of fluid in the pericardium. Now, the key differentiator from a tension pneumothorax is crucial because both can cause JVD. With tension pneumo, you'll have absent breath sounds on one side, but in cardiac tamponade, your breath sounds will likely be equal bilaterally.
Got it. So once you've diagnosed it, what's the immediate management and what's a major trap during treatment?
The immediate treatment is emergent pericardiocentesis, or in a severe trauma setting, an ED thoracotomy. This is followed by definitive surgical repair in the OR. Now, here's a huge pitfall, folks. Do not intubate and initiate positive pressure ventilation in a patient with suspected cardiac tamponade unless you are already prepped and draped and ready to treat the tamponade. Why? Because positive pressure ventilation can reduce cardiac filling even further, exacerbating the already compromised cardiac output. Intubating a patient with cardiac tamponade can lead to cardiac arrest.
Man, that's some serious stuff. It's all about that rapid assessment and intervention.
You got it. This is where your ABCs truly shine.
All right, team, let's review some high-yield content.
1. Flail chest. While the paradoxical motion of fractured ribs is the classic sign, the underlying pulmonary contusion is usually the major cause of respiratory failure. 2. Pulmonary contusion. A major trap is a normal initial chest x-ray. Lesions can blossom hours later, and judicious fluid management is crucial to avoid worsening lung edema.
3. Cardiac tamponade. This is a clinical diagnosis defined by Beck's triad: hypotension, JVD, and muffled heart sounds. And you should not delay treatment for imaging.
4. Differentiation is key. To distinguish cardiac tamponade from tension pneumothorax, remember that tension pneumo will have absent breath sounds on one side, while tamponade typically has equal breath sounds and be diagnosed with an ultrasound at bedside.
5. Intubating a patient and placing them on positive pressure ventilation can worsen the preload issue seen with cardiac tamponade and lead to cardiac arrest. So the patient needs to be prepped and ready for surgery before the intubation.
Hang in there, team. Catch you on the next episode of Surgery Shelf Prep.
Peace.